Remain in me as I remain in you. Friends, in this one very brief statement from Jesus, he summarizes the primary goal of Christian life. It is so essential for us to stay intimately united with him, and it's so wonderful when we do. However, it's so easy to grow distant from him and then just wither away. Oftentimes we don't even notice. It happens slowly, incrementally. We don't even notice. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus also says in today's gospel passage. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. This is a reminder that our relationship with Christ is fundamental. It's the foundation, we could say the bedrock of our whole lives. We receive life through him, and if we stay connected to him, we also receive all the blessings and graces we need to thrive, to flourish day in and day out. Moreover, it is through him that we receive our very identity, that we learn who we really are, the beautiful children of God that we are, the beloved children of God that we are. So we receive that identity from our relationship, and then we come to understand what his will is for us. And then we can go out on mission in service to our brothers and sisters according to his will, and then bear the abundant fruit that he wants to bring about through us. It's kind of a beautiful holy symphony, we might say. And we can summarize it with an acronym, RIM, relationship, identity, and mission. And it's kind of, there's a direction there. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, he beckons us to come into this relationship, and he immerses us in himself, loving relationship with him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. From that relationship comes our very identity. And then from there, he shows us how to go out on mission and bear this wonderful fruit. So RIM, it's a wonderful acronym to keep in mind and heart. But along the way, as we're living out this wonderful relationship with the Lord, we, the branches, need to be pruned occasionally so that the dead little twigs can be cut off and make way for new and healthy ones that will bear even more fruit. This is the difficult work of conversion, through which we die to ourselves and rise to new life in Christ. Difficult, but very beautiful. And this is how we stay connected to our Lord, to the vine, and avoid getting completely separated from our Lord, which that's what happens if we wither away over time. Eventually, we get totally separated. Without me, you can do nothing, Christ shockingly declares. That's a tough statement. Without me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch, wither away, and then be burned. And this is what happens if we get the RIM backwards. If we start with mission, then we lose our identity. And then our relationship is compromised with the Lord. Our life becomes more and more about us and less about him. Clearly then, we're far better off to allow God to prune us regularly. That's that conversion. It's difficult but beautiful. And this happens through his word and also through the sacraments. So we're far better off to let him prune us regularly. And Christ confirms this when he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By remaining in him, you will be united to his will. And therefore, what you desire will be what he desires for you. And he desires the absolute best for you. And he delights in giving that to you, in giving you what you need, since it leads you and others deeper into relationship with him, and also leads you to flourishing. That's exactly what the Lord wants. By this is my Father glorified, Christ says, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. That's the glory of the Lord. It kind of reminds us of Saint Irenaeus, who famously said, the glory of God is man fully alive. And that's what Jesus is saying. The Father is glorified when you bear much fruit and become my disciples. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It sounds great, right? Sign me up. But what does it really mean practically, this kind of bearing fruit and becoming disciples? I mean, we can think about it, but what does it mean practically? St. John helps us to get a grasp on this in today's second reading. He encourages us to love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. So he's putting meat on the bone, so to speak, because we know the talk is cheap. We can say, oh, I love the Lord and all this kind of stuff. Jesus is my homeboy, you know, whatever. We can say all this kind of stuff. But do we really mean it? Do we really live it out? Because in order to truly love, our actions must confirm what we say, right? So we need to live out this intimate, magnificent, personal relationship with the Lord. And according to His will, not ours. That's kind of the catch. That's where we often get hung up. As John teaches, if we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him, there's going to be some pruning involved. If we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him, then we remain in Him and He in us. We become and remain His disciples. And then we will receive whatever we ask for. We're going to bear that beautiful fruit that He wants us to. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, that we truly are His disciples. It's the fruit that comes from Him. Now, to be sure, neither you nor I are ever going to fully understand the truth, and we're going to struggle with it at times. There's certain teachings, there's certain truths of the Lord that are hard for us to digest, hard for us to live out. But your heart should never be troubled by this, because as John assures us, God is greater than your hearts and knows everything. And He loves you unconditionally and infinitely. So His truth will always guide you to His will and your flourishing. He's not going to lead you off a cliff and throw you to your doom. It's always going to lead to your flourishing. And this is when you're going to bear fruit. More disciples are going to come about through this fruit, bringing more and more people into the body of Christ. And then finally, we're still working through this second reading to kind of put some icing on the cake, we might say, or to give us yet more confidence. John declares, the way we know that He remains in us is from the Spirit He gave us. And I know a lot of people here have had wonderful experiences with the Spirit. When He remains in us, there will be a holy fire burning within us, leading us to hunger and thirst for deeper relationship with Him and with our brothers and sisters in Him. At the end of today's first reading, of course, we're still in Acts because we're in Easter time, we have a wonderful illustration of what happens when Christians actually do this, when they live this way. As we heard, the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace, receiving the consolation of the Holy Spirit, being built up and growing in numbers. And how did this all come about? As we heard, through the holy fear of the Lord, but also amidst great challenges. Now this holy fear, it's the awe of the Lord and this burning desire to grow in a relationship with Him. That awe leads to this burning fire within these early disciples to go out and do His will, to bear fruit, to grow the body of Christ. And they did this amidst enormous challenges. This was not easy. You have to remember, Christianity was illegal for the first 3 centuries. So you could literally be killed. People find out you're a Christian, could be curtains for you. So they were out there fighting the good fight, growing the church amidst this. And the resistance wasn't only external. You can only imagine internally, you know, what do I believe about Christ? Who is Christ? They didn't have all these dogmas and teachings and saints to help like we do, to help us to understand. This was all raw and fresh. So there was a lot of resistance that they're fighting against, but they stayed connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ. That is the key. And then the fruits speak for themselves. And I'm looking at a bunch of the fruits right now. If they hadn't persevered and stayed connected, we might not be here right now. So it's a wonderful, wonderful reality. But it's not a historical artifact. It's not an unachievable ideal. We can have it too. It's well within our grasp. The key, as you may have guessed, is to stay connected to Christ, to our vine, our lifeblood, so to speak, to remain in Him by doing His will, and then bear abundant fruit and share it selflessly with others. More practically, what are we talking about here? Well, keep the commandments. John keeps saying it in that first letter of John over and over and over. He's sending us a message. Keep the commandments. Follow them. Go to confession regularly, especially when we fail to keep the commandments. And come to Mass every Sunday and on holy days. And then engage in personal prayer each and every day. That's when the gifts that the Lord gives us here, we can enter back into them and unfold them with His grace throughout the week. Then you do that, and then you'll be filled with this holy fire and fully prepared to go out and evangelize with great zeal and confidence, even amidst the troubles of our world, even amidst them. So in short, what are we talking about? Relationship, identity, and mission. There's R I M again. Get that in the right order, and it just naturally follows. And so a few examples that just come to mind are, you know, we got Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. Look at all the struggles that she had throughout her life. She had 40 years of spiritual darkness where she really struggled to encounter the Lord in her prayer. But she knew that relationship was there. She knew what her identity was, and that sent her out on mission. By the way, that mission is coming to the reservation. And in 1 month from now, her sisters are going to be coming here. And so we're going to benefit from these fruits that come about from her perseverance, staying connected to the vine. Another example, St. Kateri Tegawitha, very near and dear, of course, to Native Americans. She had to persevere through a lot of persecution from her own family, her own people. She had to move to a different town and just a number of different physical ailments that she had. But she stuck in there. She stayed connected to the vine. And look at the fruits. Another example right here from the reservation that comes to mind, and I know there could be other examples, so please don't be offended if I don't mention you or one of your loved ones, but Gertie Heavyrunner, 97 years old, strong. She's still on fire with the Lord. She's still, every time I see her, she's like a saint, you know. She's just so jubilant. How many of her children has she buried? How many different struggles has she gone through? But how many crucios has she worked through? How many different ways has she reached out to the people on the reservation and beyond? Look at the fruits. She's staying connected to the vine. Even though her body now is, she's having some struggles, she is firmly connected to our vine, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to conclude. I'm just going to bring you back to the opening prayer that we heard today. Very beautiful. And it pulls all of these elements together succinctly and wonderfully. So I'll kind of slowly go back through it here. Almighty, ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those you are pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal.